Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And we are back. It's Thursday.
Woo!
We're talking about minute 93 through 94. We're setting up camp, baby.
That's right. Gurney's not very good at this, is he?
No. No. And I can't throw too much shade because I also suck at setting up tents and stuff, so You know, as you know, the audience probably as well.
We've never been camping together.
No, and I never want to because I fucking hate it.
Okay.
I hate being outside. I hate not having AC. It's gross.
Yeah, I mean, you don't go camping in the summer in the South. That's awful.
My dad and I used to go camping in the Ocala National Forest in the summers.
Were you by a body of water, though?
No.
Oh, gross.
No.
That's the worst.
It was so hot and so gross.
Yeah, no thank you.
When you grow up poor, camping's cheap. So it's a fun activity.
Sure.
Fun activity you can do.
I've got my... I can set up my camp in 30 minutes. If I have a lot of stuff with me, 30 minutes. But if I'm just like in backpacking mode, oh, dude, it's quick.
Yeah. Well, you also just can put down the back seat in your Subu Woo.
True.
And lay out a air mattress in there and call it a day.
But I'm talking like if I'm on the trails, like remember when I used to go out for like a week at a time?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff would be. Yeah, I just either sling the hammock up and put the little rain fly over it, or if I did have my little, you know, two-person tent, and that thing takes no time at all to set up.
I remember my dad and I used to hike, you know, sections of the AT, and, you know, we would set up our tents and everything. Unfortunately, they weren't, you know, air-filled tents like the Fremen have here with a quick pump to just get it all up.
Okay, so this... Sorry to interrupt your story, but that was the first question I had for this minute was what the heck is this gun?
It's a pump.
Is it?
It's the air compression sound that we heard because we see Chani fitting it to her and Paul's tent at the start of this minute.
So I thought, air compressed or compressed air gun. Yes, that was one of the options. Or was it something to secure the tents down?
No, it was like a, it definitely looked like it was the pump for the.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah.
I would love to have one of those on river days where I have to carry down a foot pump to the river to blow up the little rafts that we use.
Yep.
That shit sucks, dude.
Way down yonder on the Chattahoochee?
Yes, and it does get hotter than a hoochie's coochie.
Whew.
Of course, someone was playing that last time we were down there.
Yeah, it's a crime if you don't. You can't be on the Chattahoochee in the summer in Georgia and not be playing Alan Jackson. Are you fucking kidding me?
That's very true. I'm not a country music fan by any stretch of the imagination, but...
That's not true.
I'm an old country music fan.
That's also not true. You like Robert Ellis?
I don't technically consider them country.
You like Coulter Wall.
Fair enough. I like
you like outlaw. Sturgill Simpson. Sturgill Simpson, I don't know if he's like...
It's like outlaw country music.
Yeah, kind
of. I like true country music.
You like Tyler Childers.
Okay, maybe a better way of explaining this is I do not like stadium country music.
You don't like post-9/11 America super propaganda country.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Same.
if they're talking about red Solo cups...
Fuck all day, but no.
No, fuck them.
No. Do not disrespect Red Solo Cup. I'll fill you up. Let's have a party. Which, that line just by itself could be the start of a gay porn.
Fair enough. I think it's the, Bo Burnham put it best, the country music that is pandering is the stuff that I can't stand.
Yeah.
And that seems to be a lot of the country music that was coming out when I was when I was growing up.
Yeah. Well, guess what? You and I were growing up as 9/11 was happening, and that whole, yeah, like, the whole music industry shifted towards everything's got to be America kind of shit. And, you know, you also grew up in rural ass Georgia where it was a crime to play anything but country. So
that is true. Now, but if you start talking about John Prine, boy, we're going to have a good time. Love me some John Prine.
We're really stretching out the episodes.
We
this
are.
Week
this is another short one. I'm sorry.
People are like, I come here for Dune, not this fucking shit.
Okay, so Gurney's still fumbling with his tent. Other people are getting theirs inflated by the air compressed air gun.
Gurney's 10 feet away from Paul and Chani,
yeah,
struggling.
And they're just
meanwhile, they're just like, we're done.
Yep. And they're just watching him.
Yeah.
They're just watching him do that. And then Chani says, and I fucking laughed out loud when she said this. She's like, that's a lot of water.
Paul's like, Chani.
chill.
Look at him. He's hopeless.
Yeah.
He's family.
Yeah. He gets his Vin Diesel moment in.
Family. Just, it'd be really funny if just for that one shot, it's Vin Diesel. He's family.
Yeah, that'd been great.
And then it cuts back to Chani, and it cuts back, but it's Timothy Chalamet.
Sure. Again. Absolutely. Wonderful. That would have been great. No one would have noticed the difference. So she calls him hopeless. Paul calls him family. And then we get a laugh line, or a laugh like,
yeah, a gag,
yeah,
as it were.
Gurney just gets sprayed in the face with this blast of air from
kind of makes a fart sound.
Yeah. So ha ha ha, very funny.
Of all the laugh lines in the movie, personally, this one's like the bottom tier one for me. Not saying that I'm above fart and dick jokes, because absolutely not, but like, there were other comedic breaks that they've written for this movie that were definitely better.
Yeah. And then, John, we get another one of these lines that feels out of place. We get Chani looking at Paul, and she just goes, really? We've talked about this with guests before. We've talked about it with our, like, the two of us. There's some dialogue that was written into this movie that feels like it's specifically aimed at modern audiences, and it is out of place. It just feels out of place to me, and this is one of those lines.
Yeah. I mean, what are you gonna do though?
Nothing we can't do, but you know, we gotta call it out.
Sure. Not saying that I need them to be speaking in like some fucking high ass, like, noble ass shit, you know, but
yes, high ass noble ass shit.
Yeah.
Paul smiles at this though, and Chani pretty reluctantly goes over and starts to help Gurney.
Yeah. And we cut to some time later. It's nighttime, and we know that because the sky is dark.
Yes.
And we can only see the light coming from the tents and the lights from the lanterns outside of the tents.
That's right.
All of the Fremen are kind of in their own little groups, whether they're in or out of the tent. Everyone's just hanging out. You know, not as much of a celebration as we had earlier, but they're hanging out. And we get Shishkali's voice before we see her over this shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to read the translation because it's all in Chukotka.
Sure.
What do you think of the outsider? I think he's trouble. No. I trust Usul.
Yeah.
And with the no, I trust Usul, we cut to Shishkali's face first, then to Chani.
Yep.
And they're both kind of just like sitting there together at one of their lamps, and they're looking up, and man, Denis Villeneuve and Greg Fraser just love this shot of people sitting on the top of a dune, silhouetted by, you know, the night sky behind them, and we just see their outlines and everything.
Yeah.
But Paul and Gurney are just sitting up there talking amongst themselves. We don't hear their conversation just yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Chani and Shishkali are both doing their, like, sussing out Gurney stare that they do. And we cut over to the conversation that Paul and Gurney are having, and we we end our minute with Gurney saying, "No need to be a prophet to see what's ahead."
Yeah.
And then he has a long exhale.
Yep. Important to note, this is the last time we'll see Shishkali for a little while. She's not done.
Yep.
But we're going to take a break from her involvement in the movie for a couple weeks, I think.
In fairness, we haven't seen her for
a couple weeks.
Quite a while to this point. I think the last time we saw her was when Paul rode Shai Hulud.
Yep, it was. She's there when Chani needs a sounding board.
Yep.
None of this is in the book, so I don't really have much to say. There's skepticism about Gurney, as there is here, but it's mostly coming from Stilgar at this point.
I think it's interesting that Stilgar is not the one that is being, you know, in these scenes and skeptical of Gurney.
Yeah. And
like, maybe they just wanted to develop Chani a little more.
But are they?
I don't know.
They're not really developing her as a character. They're if anything, regressing her as a character here. They're taking her back to, you know, get the white people out of the desert mode.
True.
Which is where she was at the beginning of all of this.
Yeah. Well, we'll get our Stilgar fix soon enough.
Yeah. So nothing else from me, man. Anything else from your notes or the books?
Nope.
All right, cool.
Red Solo Cup, baby. All right. Well, enough of that. As always, the Dune Minute is online outside of the podcast. We are on Blue Sky at DuneMinute.com, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us. We'll be back tomorrow to round this week out. We'll see you later.
See ya.
Bye.